Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. So, I'm a little distracted here, I'm not going to lie. Because Stu seems too happy for it to just be a Wednesday. I don't know why Stu has such a big fat smile on his face. And Santa and Stu are kind of looking at each other like they're lovers. So, the only thing that I could really guess here is that there's some crap going on in soccer. So, Stu, what is going on? Because I just saw your body move in ways that I didn't even think it was humanly possible for Stuart Kovac's body to move. You were like Shakira. You were like Beyonce. You were like, who is it, J-Lo at the Super Bowl? Remember when everyone lost? It was J-Lo and was it Shakira, I think, at the Super Bowl together? I'm pretty sure in Miami. I know it was J-Lo. I want to say the other performer was Shakira. Am I right on that? I could be wrong.
I thought I remember her doing a recent one.
Let's do this real quickly. J-Lo, Shakira, halftime show. Let's see if it comes up. Yeah, it was Shakira and J-Lo, their halftime show. Remember the fake outrage from that halftime show? Where people were like, oh, how dare they wear short dresses and dance and it's too sexual. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, some boomers, they had some takes about that. Some, like, just crazy takes. They're like, oh, my kid's watching. I'm sure your kid, in the comfort of their own home, has said something a lot worse than J-Lo and Shakira dancing. But anyway, Stu, you reminded me of J-Lo and Shakira at the Super Bowl with how much you were dancing and moving your hips and going nuts during that break. So let me have you get it out of your system. What happened with this Fugazi soccer team?
All right. So Champions League started yesterday.
Started?
Yes.
When did it end? You were just watching soccer
last week. Champions League ended in May and it starts in September.
So can I ask a really dumb question?
Sure.
Then what were you watching in June, July, August, and September?
Other soccer that is either international or, you know, league play, like Premier League and, you know, the domestic leagues, they start in August.
And of course, there was the Club World Cup that we talked so much about.
Oh, yeah, Samter's favorite thing, the Club World Cup.
He loved the Club World Cup, yes.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah. Azarum, you were saying, I always mess this up. You were saying the Club World Cup you had more interest in than the World Cup. What was your stupid take on that?
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying that the Club World Cup is better than the World Cup.
You were just more interested.
I was just more interested because it was the first time and it was going to be so interesting to see. It's kind of like, you know, how now we have the expanded playoff and all this kind of stuff where you're seeing different conferences and different countries and the best teams from Brazil and Argentina playing against the best teams in Europe, which usually never happens. And the teams in South America who are always written off compared to the European teams, they did very well.
I'm going to defer to Stu here because Samter may shoot me down on this because it won't help his point. Samter's comparison, that it's called the Club World Cup? Is that what it was?
Yes.
That you were just more interested in watching that than the World Cup. Would that be like me saying I'm more interested in watching LIV Golf when it first launched compared to the Ryder Cup? Would that be the comparison there?
I think that's fair. I am, just because it's new and it's something we hadn't seen before. So I could see that.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
I can't get on board. Mike, I will... If you are going down on a sinking ship, I'll jump on and try to save you. I can't jump on that sinking ship. I can't.
But again, this is my opinion is
subjective. And I'm a big soccer guy now.
My opinion was subjective to me specifically. I wasn't saying
I just gave you guys a drop, by the way.
No, but
yeah. I just gave you a big drop right there.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that very quickly.
I'm a soccer guy now.
I wasn't saying it's better or that everybody should be more interested. I was just saying personally, I was more interested just because it was something different.
Okay, so Stu, get out of your system. What the heck happened with your soccer team?
Liverpool was up 2-0 very early in the first 6 minutes, and then they did what they always do. They kind of lollygagged through the rest of the game. They gave up 2 goals. I think the second one was around the 77th minute or so. And then in stoppage time, they scored the winner. So they won for the fifth time this season. All their go-ahead goals have come after the 80th minute. So they've kind of had this mantra of winning a lot of games late, which I don't know how sustainable it is, but we'll see.
So that's game one?
Game one of 8 in Champions League group stage play.
So what happens if you would have lost?
It was 2-2, so if they would have drawn, it would have been 1 point instead of 3.
Okay.
If they would have, you know, it just helps them advance to the next stage the more games they win.
Gotcha. And let's say if
it's not the end of the world, but I kind of treat it like the end of the world.
Let's say if you didn't have to be at work today, where would you be for this game? Would you be at a bar with, like, 800 other crazy
possibly
people?
I've gone to the Liverpool bar in the city a lot. It kind of depends. If I didn't have work, it's kind of like a 50-50 if I would go to the bar for a
Champions
League.
I think I told
game.
You this. You randomly popped up on my Instagram. Some restaurant was promoting, I guess, Liverpool playing, and I see you and Dexter Henry hugging each other, going nuts and freaking out at some restaurant. I go, I know those two bozos. I go, those are my two bozos.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, you guys. I didn't know. Did you plan that going together?
Kind of a couple weeks out because
he's a Liverpool fan.
He is. Yeah. It was the week I was off in August, and they had a Monday afternoon game, which is kind of rare. So we were like, all right, let's watch this together.
Okay. Enough with the soccer. Let's get back to real football. That's American football. That's the NFL. Don't shake your head at me, Samter. There. What we do on this show, NFL, college football, it's what pays the bills. We're not going to be sitting here talking about soccer for more than 5 minutes. Name another national radio host today in our universe, like in our world, that just talked about soccer for 5 minutes. I don't think there's one out there.
It's possible that Ryder's a huge Barcelona fan, and Barcelona's also involved in the Champions League. I don't believe they
Bill's
play today.
Is Bill's Barcelona fandom, like, questionable?
No.
No.
He is hardcore.
Okay.
He is hardcore,
because,
yes.
Because I knew Bill as a mega, mega, mega Barcelona fan, because when I went to Barcelona, I ended up getting a scarf, and I ended up getting, I think, a hat, and it was an FC Barcelona hat, I believe. And Bill goes, oh, wow, I didn't know you like soccer. I just bought it to buy it because I'm not a big soccer fan, and I feel like I'll just wear it one day and pretend I know what I'm talking about.
Did you go to Camp Nou?
Uh-huh, come again?
Did you go to their stadium, Camp Nou?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Huh?
There was a game, but it was the day we were leaving, so it was too close. But there was a game. I stayed right across the street from the church, Sagrada Familia, I think is how you say it.
Yes, from Gaudi.
Yeah. By the way, the food in Barcelona.
Incredible.
The prices in Barcelona.
Amazing.
The women in Barcelona.
Don't get me started.
You're married. Relax there, buddy.
Doesn't matter. Barcelona's a different planet.
Barcelona. I think I was in love when I was at a restaurant, and they came out with a syringe of pesto and injected it into their burrata. It was cool.
Oh, I was hoping they were going to inject it into your mouth. Oh,
calm down there, buddy.
Easy.
Take it easy. We're a family-friendly show.
Someone takes a syringe of pesto and just pulls it in my mouth. I mean, let's go.
A lot of drops in this segment.
Put it in my mouth. Let's go.
Calm down. Settle down there. So I'm a big fan. You know what? Because the network, they love our show, and they send this to a lot of places, and a lot of other shows get jealous about it. Chris Oliveiro, Jeff Sotolano, David Mayernick, if you're listening right now, can we do a Zach Gelb Show trip to Barcelona? I think they'd be in. I don't think they would say no, right? I think they would say yes. And then Boyle and Bogish and Bilotti, they'd bitch about it for about 37 years.
They can't come.
Yeah. Oh, no, you know what?
Bogish can.
Bogisher, Patcher. I think you and Pete, I don't know what's going on with you and Pete, But you guys, you got to bury this. I can't go on a trip with Samter and have Pete there. Like, I got to go with one or the other. Because whatever's the crossfires between you two have been something.
I know he's your manager.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If you had to choose between me and Bilotti, there's better not be even like a half a second of contemplation.
Ask me the question again.
Between me and Bilotti in Barcelona, if you had to choose one of the two of us to go with you, you better not. There better be no hesitation who you choose here.
I would say Or sounds like a good option right there.
I freaking hate you. It's on.
Yes, obviously it would be you.
All right.
You know, is Pete fun on a trip?
No.
Like, you know, here's the thing.
He's not. I've been on trips with Bilotti.
Say what you want about Samter. Samter is a good travel guy. You know, that's the compliment I will give you. But, you know, I'm not put in like a weird spot right here. It's a very weird spot. Stu, you'll go on the trip. All right? We'll send Stu in. We'll go into the newsroom and we'll sell Samter and Bilotti's spot until they, you know, break bread and actually behave like adults here. And you guys are the two oldest people kind of on staff, right? At the network?
I think I'm the oldest person in radio.
You are how old?
80.
Oh, no, what are you, 40?
45.
45. And how old's Pete? 40?
No, I think he's older than that. 43, 42?
So you guys are similar. You know, Stu and I, we're younger. We act, you know, mature.
First of all, Stu is 10 years younger than me and acts 10 years older than I do. Stu is like the most mature 32-year-old that I've ever met. Whatever, how old
33.
Are you? Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. He's the most mature 33-year-old I've ever met.
By the way, remember when I ate those meatballs on the air yesterday that my dad made?
Yeah.
Word got back to my dad that Ack was not happy that he didn't get any. My dad just texted me. And my dad said to me, did Ack get the meatballs I left for him? Now, I think it's pretty lame of my father that he didn't make meatballs for Stu and he didn't make meatballs for Sam.
I agree.
So that's a bad job by Bob Gelb. But
I got a good relationship with Bob Gelb.
Do you?
Yeah, me and Bob go way back.
You think you have a good relationship with him. I don't know if you do. My dad doesn't like a lot of people. It has nothing to do with you. My dad just doesn't like people.
I'll be honest.
I'm surprised my dad even likes me.
I think we've talked 3 times in the 13 years I've been here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just joking. I didn't steal a fan off his desk. I don't know if that's a good thing.
That is true. Yeah. That is some deep history there. But Ack got meatballs.
Wow.
From my dad. So I'd be curious because Ack is a tough critic. He is a tough critic. I will be curious what my dad thinks. Those meatballs were very, very delicious yesterday. Real quickly, Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. This is what he said today at his press conference regarding Bijan Robinson. Go ahead.
Do you think Bijan's one of the best or one of the best players in football?
Very, no doubt about it. He's definitely the best player in football, like in my head. I don't care. He's unbelievable. Like I love the kid. I love everything about him. I love watching him with the ball. I love his confidence. I love his demeanor. I love his mindset. I love the leadership. I love everything about him.
Are you guys familiar with the term glazing? You guys familiar with that term?
Yeah, I've heard of that for sure, yes.
The kids are glazing. Bijan Robinson is phenomenal. He's been on this show twice. I'm a huge fan of his. You can't tell me he's the best player in football or even the best running back in football right now. What he did the other night, very impressive. He has the potential to be that. After the year that Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley just had, just for starters, how can't you say that Bijan is a better running back than those two? And also, no offense to Michael Penix Jr. with that big Penix energy. Josh Allen? Like, if you say, hey, Raheem Morris, who would you rather have, Josh Allen or Bijan Robinson? Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes or Bijan Robinson? Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson or Bijan Robinson? Well, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, right? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I also got to go Myles Garrett. Like, just for starters on the defensive side of the ball, I'd rather have Myles Garrett than Bijan Robinson. So you can't tell me he's the best player in football. If he would have just said he's one of the best players in football, I'm not crushing him. But the best player in football? Give me that answer one more time. I just want to thoroughly dissect it. By the way, we just got a text from our boss, David Mayernick. Tickets to Spain. First class for Zach. Stu is in the middle. Pete and Bilotti are underneath the plane.
Pete and Bilotti?
Oh, sorry. Samter and Bilotti. Did I say Pete and Bilotti?
It's all right.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad that you
maybe
didn't
they booked two seats. Repeat. Play me that audio of Raheem Morris one more time.
Do you think Bijan's one of the best or one of the best players in football?
Very, no doubt about it. He's fine. Definitely the best player in football. Like
he doesn't even believe
that. I don't care. He's unbelievable. Like I love the kid. I love everything about him. I love watching him with the ball. I love his confidence.
That.
I love his demeanor. I love his mindset. I love the leadership. I love everything about him.
Yeah, he doesn't believe that. You can even hear it in the answer. Like he loves the kid. He's one of the best players in football. The best. He even realized that it was a little silly to say. Let's hear Jim Harbaugh the other way. We go from Raheem Morris glazing Bijan Robinson to Jim Harbaugh glazing one Derwin James.
He was playing at the line of scrimmage. He was playing in the intermediate. He was playing in the deep half and the deep part of the field and blitzing off the edge. I've called him the best safety I've ever seen in the history of the National Football League. I don't think I'm going out on a limb there.
Yeah, you are.
Ronnie Lott, Brian Dawkins, Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed. Yeah. How about right now in the NFL? Kyle Hamilton, Antoine Winfield Jr. Just saying. So there's a lot of glazing right now. And that's the world we live in right now. Everyone's the GOAT in the moment. Everyone's the best in the moment. It's kind of insufferable. Raheem Morris could say, I love Bijan Robinson. I think he's one of the best players. Are you the best, right? It was, is he one of the best players in football? And you went to, he's the best player in the league. Huh? Jim Harbaugh, Derwin James. If you said one of the most versatile safeties in the league, all right, maybe a different story. You know, one of the best safeties in the league. But the best, you could even say the best safety in the league. I would disagree with it, but you could say it. It's not crazy. The best safety you've ever seen? Jim, you're a football historian. You're a football guy. The best safety in the history of the league? What are we doing? But that's NFL, that's college football right now. Everyone's got to be the best. We got to worry about everyone's feelings in the moment. Guy has two seasons. Oh, he's the best player in football. Derwin James, made a great play, has had a really good career. Oh, he's the best safety I've ever seen. Huh? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Seriously. Who was the guy? Oh, it was, I think it was the former Alabama basketball player. Didn't he say, like, Paul George is his GOAT? I'm pretty sure that was him.
Brandon Miller.
Yeah, Brandon Miller. Was that the Paul George GOAT thing?
Yeah, but I think we discussed it. I think he was talking about his favorite
GOAT. Sure.
His GOAT. But still, yeah, it's a bad. It's a bad.
Samter, who's your favorite football player of all time?
Rob Moore.
Okay, would you say he's the GOAT?
Yep. Greatest receiver I've ever seen. No, of course not.
Right? Like, Stu, who's your favorite football player of all time?
Rich Gannon.
I like Good Rich play. Gannon. No, he's a Raider fan.
Why would it not be Rich Gannon? Who else would it be?
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Max Crosby?
Charles Woodson's up there, too, but it's Rich Gannon for me.
Yeah, would you say he's the GOAT?
I would not say that, no.
So there's a difference. There's a difference in who's the GOAT and who's your favorite player. There's a difference in being one of the best players in the league and then the greatest safety or the greatest running back in the league currently. Like, what are we doing? I'm surprised he didn't say Rod Tidwell, by the way. Samter. I'm surprised he didn't say Rod Tidwell.
Show me the money!
Especially with your Arizona fandom now. Hey, by the way.
Where's Daquan? Daquan.
Quick question for you. There was a certain backpack on your desk.
Uh-oh.
I didn't put it there. Is someone playing a prank on you?
No, that's my new backpack.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't seeing things. I wasn't hanging out with Stu before the show and hallucinating. Samter, who just in our tenure together, which has been 2.5 years?
About.
Yeah. I've seen Samter be a Jet fan, into a Chief fan, back to the Jets, back to the Chiefs. Then, just as of yesterday, you declared your fandom for the Arizona Cardinals, who you used to work for.
Yes.
Today, I walk in. Samter, who's a 2-time Jet fan, has a Patriots backpack on your desk?
Where did I go to college?
You went to college in Boston.
Boston University.
You hate the Patriots, though.
What? What are you talking about, hate the Patriots?
You have a Patriots backpack now. That is actually yours backpack.
I've had this for years. I've been a Patriot. Dude, I used to go to games in Foxborough every Sunday.
What's the name of their stadium? What's the name of their stadium?
I mean, it was Gillette. Is it not? Yeah, okay, there you go. I was at the game where the greatest quarterback of all time came in. I was at the game when Mo Lewis knocked Drew Bledsoe. I still have the ticket from that game when Tom Brady came in.
You know, that was the game after 9/11? That was the Patriots' first game back after 9/11? That was the Joe Andrews flag game.
Come on, baby.
Where he ran out in the field and they honored his firefighter.
Well, why would you think, why would you doubt my Patriot fandom? Why would you just do me a favor.
Take Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and Vince Wilfork off the table, or what the former mayor say, Wolfspoon or whatever it was.
Yeah. And honk. Jason Veritek split the uprights.
Yeah. Who's some of your favorite Patriot players of all time? Who do you like?
Oh, I mean, for me, Corey Dillon is right up there.
Because I mentioned him earlier.
Yeah.
Richard, someone I haven't mentioned.
Richard Seymour, Ty Law. Mm-hmm. Lawyer Malloy.
Oh, Lawyer Malloy.
Yeah, big fan. You know, you go back a little bit. I gotta love Drew Bledsoe. He's been on the show a few times.
Can you just do me a favor?
Yeah.
My hearing in my older age.
Andre Tippett, big Andre Tippett guy.
Yeah, basically like a relative of mine.
Yeah.
Just my hearing is getting bad. You're a fan of who now? Who are you rooting for?
Let's go, Pats.
Wow.
Yeah, Patriots, baby. All about the Patriots. And first of all, our good friend Sully, his family used to be the owners of the Patriots. How could I not love them?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, come on, let's go.
So, Santer, you are such a whore. You are a sports whore. The Hugh Hefner of sports fandom.
You know what?
Jets, Chiefs, Cardinals, now Patriots.
It's not being a whore.
You are such a kiss-ass, by the way. You're sucking up to me.
I lived in Boston. This is who I got to see every week. Of course, why would I be a whore?
I was
at the celebration on Harvard Ave and Comm Ave when the Patriots won the first Super Bowl. I climbed a light post. I saw people jumping off of buses.
But the light post didn't fall down and hit you.
Maybe that's why my memory is so bad.
All righty. This is Zach Gelbshaw, the Infinity Sports Network. The great, and I mean the great, maybe, you know, if Raheem Morris is going to say that Bijan Robinson's the best player in football right now, if Jim Harbaugh is going to say that Derwin James is the greatest safety he's ever seen, I'm going to say Ricky Ricardo is the greatest not only Spanish broadcaster of all time, the greatest broadcaster period of all time. He joins us in studio next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, where we ask the hard-hitting questions. The great Ricky Ricardo is in studio with us right now, the Spanish play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Eagles and also the New York Yankees. Ricky, great to see you as always. How are you?
As the great John Sterling would have said, hello, my boy.
Yeah, what's going on? I have a very serious question to ask you.
What's
out of
that?
The gate. Let's say you're walking out of your palatial estate.
Yeah. Florida one or Jersey one?
Let's go Jersey.
All right.
Let's say Jersey. Mm-hmm. Ricky's got two palatial estates. And then he's got the secret home, you know?
There is a third home.
That secret home that nobody talks
there
about.
There is a third home in Miami.
You look like a guy that has a secret home. Yeah. It's like that cowboy house that they were talking about in the documentary.
One by the beach in Florida. Mm-hmm. Then there's one that's not by a beach in Florida. And then there's Jersey.
Yeah. Ricky's fifth and sixth wife also have places as well. I see those checks that come in each and every month to the station. But
you don't see the ones that go out.
But. Yeah. Let's say that you're walking and you step out of your apartment or your seven-bedroom mansion that you have.
Well,
and you step
five,
in.
Five.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Who's counting?
You step in gum or you step in dog poop? Which one would you rather step in if you had to step in one?
Ooh. Give me the organic dog poop.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the gum, I think it's disgusting to take the dog poop off the shoe, but the gum gets stuck in the shoe.
Right. And plus, it's easier for me to forgive the dog because he's got to go. Some human dropped gum, all right? And I can be legitimately mad at a human for being such a pig. Whereas, you know, in the case I'm a dog guy, I like dog, we have two. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't bother me as much because, hey, the dog had to go, he had to go.
All righty. This entire offseason, everyone's bitching about the tush push. The NFL didn't get rid of it, so I would say people should stop bitching about it now. Mm-hmm. But after this weekend, the one legitimate gripe is that the Eagles do jump, right? That's a heightened awareness now. That's probably going to get called. I never realized it beforehand, but now there's attention to it. But like Adam Schefter, who I like, now saying, oh, the reason the Chiefs lost that game is because they didn't overturn the rule. The commentary here is ridiculous about the
tush-push. Because they didn't overturn the tush-push rule? That's why we beat the Chiefs?
Yeah, that's why. That's where the game was lost. The game was lost in the offseason when the rule wasn't overturned.
Look, it is a legal play. We watched Buffalo attempt it against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, on three occasions and couldn't get it done?
Vikings messed it up the other night.
Vikings have tried and couldn't get it done. The mere fact that the Eagles have mastered the tush push, we do it better. And I say we, the Eagles.
Oh, you do have two Super Bowl rings.
Two Super Bowl rings and an NFC Championship ring, too.
Yeah, but who cares about the NFC Championship ring?
That's true. But just because of the fact that
it's like the redheaded stepchild.
I never wear it. Just because of the fact that they have mastered it. And remember, they've had to readjust since Kelsey left because the key guy in the original tush push
was Kelsey.
Now it is really Landon Dickerson that most of the time.
Different angle they're tushing.
The different angle, yeah. But you've got Mailata, who's obviously got a background in Australian rules football, so you know he knows how to go forward. And look, the Eagles have perfected something that until the day the NFL says no more and it's illegal, why are you going to throw this in our face?
Do you think... And I'm a supporter of the tush push, but it does feel
which has a sponsor, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
The
wipes.
The dude wipes,
dude
right?
Wipes.
Yeah, I saw that. It does feel like
this is great, by the way.
Yeah. Ricky's like, if you want to endorse me, if you want me to endorse the product, hit me up.
Los dude wipes in Espanol.
You know, you did smell a little bit before you sat down. I think you could use some of those dude wipes.
In case I get the dog poop, I use the dude wipe.
Of course. It does feel like, though, this will be the last year of the tush push. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I mean, how big was the vote? How did it grow? Because they voted on this thing now twice, right?
Yeah, I think there was, if memory serves me right, there was 8 to 10 teams somewhere in that range. Like, I think it just missed in terms of
I think it was about a 4 or 5 vote in the, positive direction for the Eagles this year.
Yeah.
Are you going to convince enough? First of all, does someone again bring it to the table? Some other team's going to.
I would imagine.
Well, the Packers are going to go, oh, we told you so. We should have done it last. I mean,
so it was 22-10 in terms of the voting.
And how many have to?
And you need to get to 24. So it was 2 votes away.
2 votes short.
Yeah.
Well, look. In the meantime, if it helps us get to,
that's why I had 8.
It was deep into another playoff run and maybe another Super Bowl. And so it is a legal play. The Eagles have mastered how to do it. And in the meantime, coaches go to practice. Teach your guys how to do it, master it the way the Eagles have, and maybe you might come away with an extra win or two.
You know, it's really crazy the amount of excuses people make when they can't beat a certain team. And I lived through it with my football team, the Patriots. Everyone was bitching for all these years and making excuses and the boogeyman and all that stuff. Ooh. Just go out. Like the Chiefs, with how poorly they played, they still could have beat the Eagles this weekend. So don't sit there and complain about the tush push. And Chris Jones, too, walking up to Jalen Hurts. I thought that was AI. Oh, what are you celebrating? You have only 100 yards. He goes, yeah, we're going to win. You're going to lose. Right. Like, shut up, Chris Jones.
You didn't get to 100 yards. And Jalen let him know. It pointed at the scoreboard.
Yeah.
We're winning the effing game, okay? which is the whole point of this thing, as Herm Edwards once said.
You play to win the game. This weekend, though, Eagles play the Rams. Mm-hmm. I remember when the Eagles lost the Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs. It felt like that was their Super Bowl in the regular season the following year. up against the Kansas City Chiefs. They ended up winning that game.
The Monday night or in the rain.
Yeah, that's when Sirianni was walking off the field and was going nuts and going crazy. The Rams-Eagles playoff game, I was there, South Philadelphia. We know you were on the call. It was snowy. Driving home from that was not fun. Yeah. And trying to get the car out from underneath all that snow.
Started to snow in the third quarter.
And it became a blizzard real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams almost won that game, though. And the Rams have been talking about that all offseason long, how they felt like they were right there. And you look, the Eagles ended up going on and winning the Super Bowl, where the next week they win the NFC Championship game against the Commanders, and 2 weeks later they smothered the Chiefs. I think the Eagles overall a better team than the Rams. I think the Rams win this weekend because I think this game's just more important to the Rams than it is the Eagles.
They probably have a chip on their shoulder. I get it. It's the Jalen Carter sack that really turned that around because, you know, Stafford was moving them right down the field. There was one pass into the corner of the end zone that could have been caught and made a difference. But the Carter sack, that turned that whole thing around because the momentum was clearly in the Rams' favor after. And you would figure the California team wouldn't react to the snow the way that they did, or, you know, the SoFi indoor beautiful stadium team. But they played better in the bad conditions, better than the Eagles did in that fourth quarter that night.
Now, the bosses talked to me before we brought you in here today. A source told me that last night.
We have the same boss, by the way.
I know. Our bosses.
Yeah.
You know? Source came up to me and said, last night before the start of the Yankee game, you were channeling your inner Jalen Carter and you hocked a loogie in a producer's face. Is that true?
A dactula?
Yeah.
No. No, that would not be correct. Okay. I am much
just
more...
Just making sure Jalen's not rubbing off.
No. Much more sanitary than that.
Okay. Usually when we have you in here...
But baseball players spit all the time.
You can't spit on someone.
No, not on someone.
Yeah, like Dak, he issued a little mark the territory warning shot first.
Do you buy the fact that Dak baited him into doing that? That theory, do you buy that? Is he sharp enough because Ben... Sumrin's on the turf being carted off. That's the only reason they even had enough time to have that exchange.
I think Dak was like, dude, get away from my huddle. Because he was very close to the team.
Right.
And he just kind of spat out there like a little warning shot. I don't think it was directed to hit him. And then Jalen, who he's not that mature, lost his mind and then spit into him. I don't think Dak said, oh, let me spit at Jalen Carter to provoke him.
To provoke him.
To fire spit back in his cabeza.
I don't see all of that, you know.
So usually we have you do a Spanish play-by-play call for us. Whether it's
touchdown,
like,
Philadelphia.
Yeah, whether it's an NFL call, Zach Gelb doing something in Major League Baseball.
Right.
Well, I'm going to give you a little tricky one here today.
Oh.
So my dad yesterday, it was the one-year anniversary of my grandmother passing, so my dad wanted to make meatballs, and he left me some meatballs here.
The great Bob Gelb,
by the way. He's average. He'll pass his prime. I don't know if you have to go
great. He's on my, you know, generation line.
I'm not like Raheem Morris.
I'm your uncle.
Who Bijan Robinson, my tio.
Yeah, you know? I'm his brother.
Bijan Robinson, according to Raheem Morris, right, he's the best player in football. Jim Harbaugh, Derwin James, the greatest safety of all time. But that's a good guy, right? Is he the great? I don't know about that. But anyway, he made great meatballs yesterday. And I was eating them on the air while I was doing a segment.
Mm-hmm.
And Ack was a little offended. My dad made some meatballs and didn't make any for Ack. So my dad made more meatballs.
Really?
And left them from Ack today. So can you do the Spanish play-by-play of Ack eating Bob Gelb's delicious meatballs? Have to emphasis the meat there.
There is a word in Spanish for meatballs.
Carne?
Albóndigas.
Okay. So give me the play-by-play. Give me like 30 seconds of Ack sitting down at the table eating Bob Gelb's balls, meatballs.
Meatballs.
Yes.
Okay. El señor Richard Ackerman, ofendido porque Bob Gelb no le dio albóndigas, se sienta en la mesa a comer. Calienta las albóndigas. Ackerman a la boca. Ackerman traga. Ackerman, le encantaron las albóndigas. Richard Ackerman, touchdown meatballs.
Sí, señor. Sí, señor. Sí, señor.
No, señor. No meatballs for me. Where are mine?
Gracias, señor Gelb.
Yeah. Now everyone's going to be coming after me. My dad makes me some meatballs. Ack's annoyed.
I'll bring in the bread, the hoagie bread from Licio's, one of the great Philly bakeries.
Yeah.
All right? And we'll have some real legitimate meatball heroes here.
I brought in bread from Moretti's of Brooklyn.
Okay. I know the Amoroso family, so we get the Amoroso rules.
There you go.
If we want to.
All right. But, taste test.
So yesterday, Ack was annoyed at me. Today, Stu and Samter are now annoyed. Oh, your dad makes meatballs for Ack and not for me, like my guys behind the glass. And now Ricky's mad at me. Bob Gelb. Just wait until I come home and visit you to make meatballs.
He's in sales. He's got to do business. He can't make meatballs for everybody all day. I'm an exception. I know.
Wow. And if Ack didn't get the meatballs, he'd be throwing Bob Gelb under the bus.
That's right. That's right. What, no meatballs?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
The great Ricky Ricardo in studio with us. Ricky, muchas gracias.
Eagles 27, Rams 24.
Okay. And real quickly. The Yankees, how are we talking about them at the end of the season?
Yankees may be a little too late for the American League East. 6 is the magic number for Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yankees, Red Sox, wouldn't that be a spicy division?
Spicy meatball.
spicy meatball wild card round? Huh? It
would be fun. All right. I remember a few years, Yankees played the Red Sox a few years ago.
Yes.
Now it's 3 games, but the Yankees lost to the
Red Sox. It was a one-gamer.
At Yankee Stadium.
Garrett Cole. No, that was at Fenway.
Oh. Then maybe it was before that, because I was at a wild card round where the Yankees played the...
Remember Schwarber hit a home run?
Yeah. When Gary Sanchez was on the team, I remember Sanchez late.
Well, Cole started the game I'm talking about.
Okay. So that was then, thinking of the one before that then. Because Sanchez late in the game hit a fly ball to left field and it wasn't there. And I had a friend who's a Red Sox fan who was at the game and the fans were the Yankee fans.
Would that have been the 19-run output Red Sox playoff game?
I don't remember. No, the 19 output, wasn't that 2004?
No.
Yeah. No. At Fenway.
No. At Yankee Stadium when they eliminated the Yankees. The night they eliminated the Yankees, I guess it was 19.
Mm-hmm. I think there was also
19. Who's the guy? The guy hit for the cycle, a reserve infielder.
Well, Middlebrooks?
No. The little reserve.
Ken Lowry?
Reserve infielder hit for the cycle.
Not
and
Robbie
he finished
Refsnyder.
It. No, and he finished it off with a home run to right.
Let's see. Reserve infielder, cycle, little Yankee, Red Sox,
utility guy.
Playoff game. Let's see.
In a 19, I think it was a...
Oh, Brock Holt.
Brock Holt?
Yeah, that was the game. It was 2018. So my friend...
18.
A friend of mine is a Red Sox fan. So I said, I got us 2 tickets, we could go. And they were throwing like peanuts at him during the game. So when Sanchez hit the ball to left, the section was ready to pounce on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't go out of the park. He starts during New York, he starts kicking and dancing and waving goodbye.
Not good. But
thank God we were in the rich people's
seats. The Brock Holt extravaganza.
Yeah, Brock Holt. There you go. Okay. The great Ricky Ricardo. Ricky, thank you so much.
Anytime.
All righty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Robert in Carolina says, Zach, Tua said he can't do half of what Josh Allen does. Do you appreciate the honesty or does it sound weak? You could submit a question by tweeting at INS Sports Header at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's hear those comments from Tua Tagovailoa, and then we'll react to it.
He's top tier. You know, if it's not with his arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and any of that. And then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has, you know, he's supreme when it comes to that.
I got no problem with it. I don't think it's weak whatsoever. He's being complimentary to another player that is better than him. The other player was the MVP of the league last year, and the Bills have owned the Miami Dolphins. I got no problem with Tua Tagovailoa praising Josh Allen in that spot. I have more of an issue with Tua and Mike McDaniel. This was Tua yesterday talking about some of the issues on offense. It seems like there's some issues between Tua and Mike McDaniel.
That was really frustrating. It was frustrating with the communication with the guys inside the huddle and then what the personnel is, then the play for those guys. Do we have too many guys in? Why do we have another guy running in? Just the whole operation of that was not up to standard, was not up to par, and I got to do a better job with our guys in that sense.
Who's that fall on? How does that fall on? What's the communication?
Well, we have until the 15-second mark until it cuts off with the communication with Mike. So depending on what the personnel is, depending on what we were trying to do there, if it was a wristband call or if it was a call it in the headset, you know, there's a lot of things in that sense that play a role in if we're getting to the right things or if we're not getting to the right things. So that was sort of the mix-up of communication there.
Anytime he starts to blame the coach, he then takes responsibility for it. But I still don't think it erases the first part of that statement. That's something to monitor. Let's get to one other thing that's been making the rounds here. A.J. Brown had some comments about the state of the Eagles' offense and where his concern level is at.
The goal is to win the game. So, you know, no matter what that looks like, you know, I think the reason why people may talk about it because they want to know if it's substantial, you know, can you sustain that throughout the season? So, you know, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair thing to talk about. But, you know, our job is to continue to try to find a way to win.
If you had to take a guess through two games, how many catches do you think A.J. Brown has?
Two.
Two? You say two, Samter? Stu?
I'll say three.
He has six catches.
Wow.
Had one up against the Cowboys, had five up against the Chiefs. 5 for 27, 1 for 8. Oh, I'll tell you this. I am going to place a bet right when the show ends this weekend. Anytime touchdown this week, A.J. Brown. This is what A.J. Brown does. Right? Yeah, the goal is to win. They haven't got the ball barely to him. He's basically begging to get the football thrown to him. And I know he said all the right things there, and we'll see if it's sustainable. So there is some ambiguity there, some questions there. But when he doesn't get the ball enough, they then make it a priority to go get the ball to him, and it usually doesn't last more than 2 weeks. So I think A.J. Brown, anytime touchdown, could be my favorite bet of the week early on a Wednesday for week 3 of the NFL season. And I can't really crush the – I just want a Super Bowl. And they're 2-0 to start off the season. So you've seen it from both ways. They were 10-1. People said, oh, they weren't playing that great, and then they won one game down the stretch. Last year, they weren't playing that great, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to freak out about it. One last note, by the way. We have an Infinity Sports Network host who's sensitive and who is annoyed. A guy that I like a lot with this Pat Boyle Vegas draft. So Pete the Body Bilates team was Sean Marash. So anyone that's ever worked for the network. Andy Gresh. Gresh keeps on getting thrown on these lists. You know, the Backstreet Boys play at the Sphere a lot. You may not want Gresh there. Manny Rodriguez. Jody Mack. Huh. Boyles was Carlos with the K, Maggie Gray, David Mayernick, and myself. Oh, that's elite. And Andrew Bogus is Scott Farrell. See? Bogues, he was so sensitive last time when they were stupid leaving off Scott Farrell. Now he's sucking up. You know, shake it up, Andrew Bogus. I still don't like you. You didn't put me on the list. Screw you. Bleep off. So Bogus is Farrell. Mike Baseglia, my former producer. Bill Ryder. And then Tiki Barber. So Bogus is still sucking on up to Tiki. You know who's on that list? Bart Winkler. And Bart Winkler, he said, the first draft didn't offend me. This one does. Maggie Gray says, I can party all night until 9:30 p.m. Maggie gets sick a lot, too, on these trips. And then Sean Marash, I don't get this segment. Look at Marash. How about that? Oh, boy. Yeah. We got to start giving more credit to Bart Winkler. I saw some company wrote something up and they didn't mention that his show was on the network. And he goes, oh, they mentioned Zach Gill. They mentioned Pat Boyle. They mentioned JR. They mentioned Bill Ryder. They mentioned Rich Eisen. They mentioned Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff. They didn't mention him. And also, Perloff's got to be on this Vegas list. Because if you actually do your homework, which Bilotti and Bogus don't, then you get Perloff's friend with you on the trip, Sully, who lives in Las Vegas and has all these connections. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.